The title of this sermon that God gave me is It Is Finished, was a statement of victory. It was a statement of victory. He said, it is finished. He had accomplished everything that he had come to do.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, you are worthy. We just sang how worthy you are, Lord, and we do acknowledge that, Lord. You are worthy. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are Almighty God. And God, we have come into this house to worship you, to praise you, to hear from you, because you sit on the throne. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. There is no other God. And God, we are here to acknowledge that, to exalt you, to worship you, and to praise you, Lord. And we give you this entire service, Lord. We just ask that you would continue to be magnified and continue to speak in this place as we open up your Bible. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So before I get into the Word, there was a bit of a controversy last week, and I just want to clear it up. There were multiple people that acknowledged that I was wearing a green tie. And there were a couple, Lisa, that were wrong. And that's the end of that. So I wore a yellow tie today so there would be no controversy. Does everyone agree that this tie is yellow? Lisa? Lisa said it's gold. So we'll address this next week. You know, it's yellow. I didn't know I was going to get to preach until later this week, because when I spoke with Pastor Jerry, he sounded like this. And then when he gave that praise yesterday morning, I was like, he sure sounds good now. I was like, I think he could still preach. But God was so good to give me this word. Matthew 27. We're going to look at three of the Gospels, and we're going to look at the same event, but we want to key in on a phrase that was only in one. And as we are a week away from Easter Sunday, God gave me this, and we're going to get to talk a little bit about his crucifixion. And in Matthew 27, verse 48, it says, straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge, and they filled it with vinegar. They put it on a reed, and they gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Mark 15, verse 35. Some of them that stood by when they heard it, they said, behold, he calleth Elias, or Elijah. And again, same thing, one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And again it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Now let's look in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And in verse 28, this wasn't said in the other Gospels. And we're going to actually go back and finish this in Matthew 27. But it said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel, same thing we saw in Matthew and Mark, full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, they put it upon hyssop, they put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, in the other two Gospels it says he cried with a loud voice. But in this one it actually says what he said before he gave up the ghost. And he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It doesn't tell us what he says in any of the other Gospels, but in John's Gospel it says, he said, he didn't ask, is it finished? No, it said that he knew all things were accomplished. And he said, it is finished. Now let's go back to Matthew 27 and see what happened after Jesus proclaimed that it was finished. Again, it wasn't a question, it was a statement, it was a proclamation. But in Matthew 27, we'll go back and start in verse 50. And we just read this, and it said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, and what did he cry? It is finished. He yielded up the ghost. And when Jesus said that and he gave up the ghost, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake. The rocks were broken apart. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. They came out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city, and they appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The title of this sermon that God gave me is, It Is Finished, was a statement of victory. It was a statement of victory. He said, it is finished. He had accomplished everything that he had come to do. And he said, it is finished. We look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, what the Apostle Paul says about it. How many knew when he was standing there and he was giving up his life, was saying something in victory? His victory was to the grave, right? Because he did not stay in that grave. He's alive today. He said, it is finished. It is done. I have completed what I came to do. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But, in verse 57, thanks be to God, which gives us what? Victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, in verse 58, it says, therefore, because we have victory through Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it is finished. Jesus completed what he came to do. It is finished. Was a statement of victory, not a statement of defeat, not a statement of death, but a statement of victory. It is finished. Revelation chapter 1, John said in verse 17, he said, when I saw him, and they just had a description of him, but he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and he said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And look what he says. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. It is finished was victory. It is finished was a proclamation that he had won. Death could not hold him. That grave is empty to this day. It is finished. You know, I saw a video this week and I shared it with a few people, but it was a man speaking about it is finished. And he said, when it spoke by us, it means done. But when it spoke by God, life's begun. It is finished. He went to the cross so that we could have eternal life. He came to die and to rise again. It is finished. And we have victory because of it. And I found this writing. I was telling Pastor Jerry, God gave me this message. He gave me this title. And then I found this on the internet. And I want to put this word up there in case anyone wants to write it down. And I looked it up on the advice of Rick. I said, Rick, I'd like to have that word put up there because I don't think I can pronounce it. And he said, go to Google. It'll show you how to pronounce it. It is a Greek word and is pronounced tetelestai. The man said, tetelestai. Tetelestai. The word is tetelestai. And that word means it is finished. That was the last word that he spoke. But listen to this. This was just, I sat and I read this at my office yesterday and I just cried and I am going to try and get through it today. But he said, it is finished is the English translation of the Greek word tetelestai, which was the last thing Jesus said before dying on the cross. Tetelestai comes from the verb teleo, which is T-E-L-E-O, which means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. It's a crucial word because it signifies the successful end of a particular course of action. It's the word you would use when you climb to the peak of Mount Everest. It's the word you would use when you turn in the final copy of your dissertation. It's the word you would use when you make the final payment on your new car. It's the word you use when you cross the finish line of your first 10K run. The word means more than just I survived. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. But there's more here than the verb itself. Tetelestai is in the perfect tense in the Greek. That's significant because the perfect tense speaks of an action which has been completed in the past with results continuing in the present. It's different from the past tense, which looks back on an event and says, well, that happened. The perfect tense adds the idea that this happened and is still in effect today. It is finished. It's still finished. What he did on that cross is still finished. We have victory because of what he did. It's finished. We're in a place of victory always. See, it says, note, he said, he didn't say, I am finished. That would have implied that he died defeated and exhausted. Rather, he cried out, it is finished, meaning I successfully completed the work I came to do. It was the Savior's final cry of victory when he died. He left no unfinished business behind. When he said it is finished, he was speaking the truth. It wasn't the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. It was not an expression of satisfaction that the terminations of his suffering was now reached. It was not the last gasp of a worn out life. No, rather, was the declaration on the part of the divine Redeemer that what he came to do was complete. It is finished. And we should live that way in every single thing that we do. It is finished. You're fighting a battle that's already been won. Do we have an adversary? Yes. Guess what? He's finished because of what Jesus did on the cross. His work is finished. We're complete because of him. He is risen today. It is finished. And we need to start saying that over our situations. No, it is finished. He has already won. Victory is done. We have victory in him each and every day, each and every breath. Each and every situation is already won. We're not doing this to see what happens. We know what happens, and we are victorious in him. It is finished. It has such power. He finished it. He did it. He died. He was the perfect, blameless lamb. He died and did what we could never do. It is finished. The veil was torn. We have access to God Almighty. It's finished. We can go right to the source. How many of you get on a phone call and you're just like, if I could just talk to somebody that made a decision. If I could just get through these 11 people so I can talk to them. That's what we get to do when we pray. We go right to the one that makes the decision. It is finished. And I want to talk about two stories of people that lived this out, because they knew it was finished. And one of them's in the Old Testament. One of them's before Jesus was even on this cross. I was reading the other day, and God said, I want you to talk about that. And he showed me something I had never noticed before, because that's what he does. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to be talking about a man named Elkanah. And in verse 2, it tells that he had two wives. He had a hard life, Laura. He had two wives. He had two wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. I also looked that up on Google, so I am correct, or Google was lying. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not have any children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. And in verse 4, when the time was that Elkanah, the husband, offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I love this in verse 6. It doesn't name who this person is, but you can try and figure it out. It says, her adversary provoked her sore, for to make her to fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And in verse 7, it tells us, and as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so we find out it's a she that provoked her. I don't know who the other person was. You guys can try and figure it out. But she provoked her, therefore Hannah wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am not I better to you than 10 sons? Well, apparently he was not. But so Hannah rose up after they had eaten and after they had drank. And now Eli the priest, he sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord. I believe Pastor Jerry said 1 or 20 times that God answers prayers this morning. Does God answer prayers? Right? So she goes and she's sad, which is okay. She has grief, which is okay. But she knew where to take it. So she took it into the temple, into the house of the Lord, and she prayed unto the Lord. And she wept sore. And then she vowed a vow and she said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget me, but will give unto me a man child, then I will give him to you all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued to pray that Eli was watching her mouth. And it says Hannah, she was only speaking in her heart. She wasn't speaking out loud, but her lips were moving, but not her voice. So Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I haven't drunk wine or strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. She said, count not your handmaid as a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I done this. Eli answered and he said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. Now she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way, and she waited to see what God was going to do before she reacted, right? That's what it says. She was like, okay, I've prayed, God, now it's on you, right? Well, she probably had a pregnancy test in her bag, and she went into the bathroom of the temple and said, still not pregnant, God. Right? She prayed and then she waited to see what God was going to do. That's what it says. Is that what it says? No, what did she do? She prayed, she asked God, and then she left. She did eat and was no more sad. It was finished. She took it to the only person that could change the situation, and she left it with him. What did Pastor Jerry say today? He said, we've brought stuff in here. Don't take it out of here. You come to this altar, you sit wherever you are, you lay it down and you leave it. There's only one person that can change your situation. Go to him, give it to him, and leave it with him. She left there and she was sad no more. Had it changed? Was she pregnant right that second? It didn't matter. She gave it to the only person, the only one that could do anything about it, and then she left it. It was finished. She was done. There was nothing else she could do. She had done absolutely everything. She went to her Creator and she gave it to Him. Quit walking around with your burdens. Give them to Him, leave them, and know it is finished. You are victorious every day. What happened to her in verse 19? They rose up there early in the morning. They worshiped before the Lord and they returned and then they came back to their house. And then Elkanah, her husband, knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and she called his name Samuel. because I have asked him of the Lord. It was finished, church. And what did she do? She fulfilled it. She kept Samuel while he was small. She weaned him. And then in verse 25, it says, then they went back to the temple when it was time. They slew a bullock. They brought the child to Eli. And Hannah came and she said, oh, my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by you here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord's given him me, and the petition which I asked of him. She said, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. It was finished. It was done. She gave it to him because she knew who she was asking. Look at what she says in the very next chapter. Chapter 2, verse 1. Hannah prayed again and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There's none holy as the Lord. There's none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. She's talked no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. I don't know who she's talking about. Verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. It is finished. She knew it. Do you know it? She gave it, she left it, and she went away sad no more. If you came into this place sad, don't leave here sad. It is finished. Give it to him and accept the victory that he got for you on that cross. Acts chapter 16. We've heard this story time and time again, and as you're turning there, there was a woman possessed with a spirit of divination. She was able to tell the fortune for the people that hired her out. And she kept following Paul and Silas around, right? And finally, Paul turned around and commanded that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out. And in verse 19, after this happened, when their master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. They drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. They brought them to the magistrate, and they said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. That could happen to us one day if we go around telling the truth of Jesus Christ. And I hope we're prepared for it, because victory has already been won. It is finished. Right? But what happened to them? They kept on. They said, they teach customs which aren't lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. And he made their feet fast in the stocks. They were firmly positioned in there. And at midnight, Paul and Silas said, God, why have you turned on us? Why have you done this to us? All we were doing was what you told us to do. Why? Why is it going so bad? Right? No. You know why? They knew it was finished. They weren't looking at it that they could lose. They can't. We can't as believers. They were in a position of victory in that jail cell. So what did they do? It says they prayed and then waited to see if God would answer their prayer, right? They didn't. They prayed. They laid it down, just like Hannah. And what did they do? They started to praise God in their stocks in their prison immediately. The other prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. They laid it down, and they praised before they got their miracle. They praised before they got their answer, just like Hannah. Is that what we're doing? It is finished. He's completed it. It's over. We're victorious. We get to spend eternity with the risen King. Don't wait to start celebrating. Well, one day in heaven. No, right now. Right now. He is risen. He's not risen the day that you get to heaven. He's not risen the day that everything's going your way. He is risen today and forever. It is finished. And that's why Paul in Romans 8:18 said this. He said, listen. He said, I reckon that I love this scripture. The sufferings of this time, I can't even talk about them. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through, it's not worthy of the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. I'm losing my voice. So how do we apply this? These are the verses I thought I was going to start with, and God was like, no, you'll finish with them. But how do we apply this? And then Pastor Jerry, as God was speaking through him, kept saying, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He answered Hannah's prayer. He answered Paul and Silas's prayer, and he'll answer your prayer. Did he answer the prayer for Jordan last week when we stood here and there was no hope? Did he answer the prayer for Lee when Lee was dead on the floor of this church? God will answer prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Just so we see that John, who John's talking to. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. Pat has life today. Pat has life. Pat is victorious with her Creator. But she didn't wait, did she? She was telling you when she was in that bed, wasn't she? She didn't wait till she got there. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I didn't have to look anything up. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't, you have death. Okay. Verse 13. This is who he's talking to. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe. So if you believe, this was written to you. I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Ask Him and then what? Believe. Ask Him and know. Ask Him and leave it. It's done. It's His. We talked about it last week, and I'll just, James 1, verse 5. Just flip back a few pages. But again, he talked about it with wisdom. He tells us, right? He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally, and He doesn't upbraid. It'll be given to you. But what's the condition? Verse 6, let him ask in faith. Don't ask God and then doubt it. Ask Him and know. It says let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let no man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. If you doubt, don't even ask. Ask believing, knowing what He can do. He can do anything, right? He can do exceedingly abundantly more. Ask believing. Ask in His will. Ask and leave it. Mark chapter 11, Jesus was speaking, and Peter had just asked Him a question, but look what He says. Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith. Have faith in God. He goes on, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. We talk about that all the time. If you're going to ask, believe that you're going to get it, that God's going to do it. Because if you believe and you ask His will, you will receive it. That's it. He does it. He always does it. Ask in faith, believe, expecting, and then you will leave not sad. You will leave rejoicing. You will praise Him from the prison. You will praise Him wherever you are if you ask and know who He is. Philippians 4 is where we'll close. I wanted to read Philippians 6:3 to make Philip feel better, but there isn't one. So Philippians 4 is where we'll go. Does anybody remember where the verse was from last week? 4:8. Yeah, 4:8. Philip's nowhere near 48. Philippians 4. I love Philip. I asked him. He said, no, that'll help me remember it. I said, well, praise God. Philippians 4. What do we do? Be careful for nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer. 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 Talk to God. Talk to Him all day long. I also have a running dialogue with the Lord. I ask Him stuff all the time. Lord, I'm going to need your help. I know you know it, but I'm going to need your help right this second. I don't always close my eyes and get on my... I'm like, God, I need you right now. I need you right this second. And that's when He tells me to be slow to speak. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Ask and then give thanks for it. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then what? Peace. Did you have peace? You had peace because when you know who He is, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No, it doesn't make any sense why you have peace going to surgery. No, it doesn't make any sense why they had peace in that jail cell. No, it didn't make any sense why Hannah went from crying to rejoicing and she was no longer sad. Because it's God. It's always God. It's finished. What He did on the cross is finished. It's still finished. And it will forever be finished. It's finished is a statement of victory. We need to start telling our enemy that it's finished. We know where he ends. We need to start telling our battles. This is already finished. I'm victorious. And we need to tell ourselves it's finished. Jesus did the work. It's finished. I hope you remember that. It's finished. God has done it. Jesus is risen. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again for His church. It's finished. It's over. Victory is for today. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to die, that He would then rise again on the third day, that death and the grave have no victory, but He is alive forevermore. Lord, we thank You that You have given us the peace that passes all understanding, that You've already defeated the enemy, that we are victorious in You. God, let us see that. Let us remember that. Let us live it out through no matter what's going on in our lives, because it is finished. As they begin to play, and I'm going to open this up.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.